welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Catch your breath. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. I give honor, child of God, to the Spirit of Christ that is in this place. For it is in him that we live, move, and have our very being. I give honor to the leadership of this church. I give honor to all of those who serve in this ministry diligently, to the diaconate ministry, and to all of the leaders of the ministry, and to you, the people of God. I greet you in the holy word, peace. In a real sense, y'all, I've said this before, that it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And in this era in which we're situated, peace is more valuable than anything you have. Did you hear what I just said? I said, in this era in which we're situated, peace is more valuable than anything you own today. In a time where mass school shootings are happening every other month, a time where black and brown young men and sisters are being gunned down by people who are supposed to protect them for no reason and no consequence, and it's happening rapidly, we need peace in our lives. I tell you what, your bank account status means nothing if you don't have peace of mind. If you got money but you're crazy, you got a bad combination. I just said something. So you ought to have peace in your life, amen. I'm grateful to God. Can you help me give God praise for this music ministry today, who just ushered us right into the presence of the Lord? I'm grateful. It's good to be back, Redeemer. It's good to be back. It's my Philly fam, and I'm grateful to y'all. And I'm grateful for our relationship. And I was talking with some of the deacons in the back and recalling of how I've been sharing with this ministry since my senior year at seminary there at Princeton. And so this ministry watched me graduate with my master's. This ministry watched me serve as a youth and young adult pastor. And now this ministry watches me serve as a senior pastor. I have a wonderful relationship with this church. And Redeemer, I love you. I love you very much. And I thank God for the friendships that I've made over the years that have evolved into family. Is there anybody ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from sunny South Florida. Amen. We won a Super Bowl since I last seen y'all. I told early morning, I'm surprised y'all didn't hear me yelling from Fort Lauderdale. So we're grateful to God for what God is doing for our city. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke today. I want to share a word of God that I believe is going to bless you. If you weren't here at the 8 o'clock hour, I behoove you to invest in the CD or DVD ministry that's here at Redeemer, simply because we had church. And God blessed us in a mighty way. And I'm believing that the Lord will do the same here. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke, and if you don't mind, go with me to the 8th chapter of that Gospel. And I want to lift up a very familiar text that many of you are accustomed to hearing, those of you who have been in church for quite some time in your lives. The Gospel according to Luke at chapter 8, meet me at verse 43 if you don't mind. If we can meet at 43, that'd be blessed. And we're going to lift up essentially five verses. New King James Version reads according to this wise. It says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any." Y'all see that? "She came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, let the church say immediately, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press on you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. For I perceived power going out from me." Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, the Bible says, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Redeemer, pray with me for a moment, why don't you? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, please have your way. Move in this place like never before. Save someone. Heal someone. Deliver someone. Edify the body of Christ, but most importantly, God, you be glorified. Allow your manservant to decrease so that you may increase. Please hide me and please speak for me. Now, God, we arrest this atmosphere right now. We come against anything that tries to keep this word from completing its assignment. God, we understand that if you don't do these things, none of it will be done. So it is in Jesus' mighty and matchless name that we do pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Redeemer family, for the time that is ours to share today, if the Spirit of the Lord shall guide, I want to preach from the subject, "I decided to live." I decided to live. Y'all help me preach just a little bit today. Just lean over to your neighbor, nudge them, and say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, I know they thought I was out of here, but I decided to live. I decided to live. I decided to live." Redeemer, I don't think we oftentimes, in a real sense, value what faith community represents and what it does for our lives. Faith communities are essential, really, to our spiritual being and to our spiritual development. Because like anything else in this life, if you're ever going to develop into who God has ultimately called you to be, you're going to need some help along the way. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how astute you are. I don't care how much brilliance you were born with, and I know we have some brilliant folk in here. You didn't get to where you are by yourself. In your natural life, you understand along the way that you couldn't educate yourself and promote yourself to the next level. But you had something called teachers who would educate you, and they would teach you materials that you needed in order to go to the next level. And so as a consequence, you didn't get to, with your smart self, you didn't get to where you are today by yourself. You must understand, child of God, that the same works in the kingdom of God. The reason why you can't stay at Bedside Baptist, the reason why you can't just be content with streaming church, is because the reality of the matter is you don't get community from streaming church. You don't get community from being at Bedside Baptist. Amen. The reality of the matter is you need to be around people who believe God with you and believe God for you. Reality of the matter is, child of God, that when we come into the house of God, the reason why community is so powerful is because when we come into this place, we all come with different problems, but we worship the same God. We all come from different facets, and we all have different vicissitudes of life that are bothering us, that we have to deal with stuff that the people around you don't even know what you're dealing with. They don't even know what you had to handle this week. They don't know what you've been going through this month. But there is one thing thing I do know. I do know that if we both praise the same God, that that God can hook us both up. That's why y'all ought to come to church. That's why every now and I know you don't always like giving your neighbor a high five, but sometimes there's power in that high five, because somebody on the other side of that high five is believing God with you and believing God for you. The reality of the matter is this: if I can transition into my ethos today, you'll understand that having community of believers around you is essential for what you are trying to request from God. Most of us in here, if not all of us, hear me, and here's where I'm going to hang my hat. Most of us, if not all of us in here, watch this. We all need one of the biggest tenets of what we believe God is able to do for us. One of the biggest things that we believe as believers that God can do for us is to heal. All of us need healing. You've either been healed, you're in need of healing, or you're going to be healed soon. And we can't limit healing, child of God. And this is why I'm arguing my case today, because healing being a major tenet of the faith, we oftentimes limit healing to physicality. We always think healing has to be God touching the body and rescuing it from a particular kind of illness. But healing doesn't always have to deal with the physical. Yes, sometimes it does. There are people here right now in the name of Jesus who need a healing touch from the Lord. They're dealing with something. They might be fighting a disease you may or may not know about. They might be wrestling with some issues physically in their lives. And so, yes, they need a physical healing, but everybody don't always need physicality. Some people need mental healing. Amen. I think Kanye West taught us that very vividly the past few weeks, that sometimes people need mental healing. Some people, watch this, you might not be defeated in your body, but you're defeated in your mind. Oh God, I feel like having a little bit of church today. And so the reality is, why do you think the enemy attacks your mind first? Y'all get twisted because you think the devil's trying to attack your spirit. Let me let you know something. Devil love church. Ooh, I'm teaching here. The devil love church. You do remember that he is a fallen angel. You do remember that in heaven, the devil was the biggest praise and worship leader that we ever seen, baby. The devil was better than Tasha Cobb. Better than whoever's hot right now. I don't know. The devil can sing. He can sing gospel songs backwards and forwards. Devil love coming to church and hearing good gospel music. He wrote a lot of it. And so the reality is, the devil ain't after your spirit, because he can't attack your spirit unless he gets through your mind. The enemy is after your thoughts. He's after your mind. That is why you need some people, hear me, child of God. Some people here today don't need healing in their bodies. They need healing and deliverance in their mind. Why do you think some people wake up depressed and go to bed depressed? Somebody here, they've been up all night. That's why they got bags under their eyes. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because they can't get no rest, because the enemy is attacking their thoughts and making them believe that they've been defeated. Some people need to be rescued and healed in their minds. The enemy will come after your thoughts first, because if he can get your thoughts, your body will follow. Are y'all hearing me today? And so as a consequence, there's somebody around you, yes, that needs a physical healing. There's also somebody around you, child of God, who needs a mental healing. But hear me, child of God, somebody else around you needs emotional healing. Somebody's heart has been broken recently. Somebody has been betrayed by a loved one. Somebody has been stabbed in the back by a family member. Am I talking to anybody here who has been there before? You might be there right now. Pastor, I need some prayer, because if nobody's praying for me, my emotions are going to take over, and you might hear me say something that's not appropriate for church. They need emotional healing. And so, heirs, there are multi layers. There are components to the healing that everybody needs, and that's why you all come to church. Because when you offer praises up to God, God doesn't just see your praise for yourself, but God sees you and everybody on your pew. That's why I have to do a pew check every now and then. I gotta let people know. Hold on, child of God. If you're gonna sit on this pew, this is a praising pew. I know you sit there city, baby. I know you're riding good, you're looking good. I know you're bad and bougie now, but the reality of the matter is, if you're going to sit on this pew, you got to be willing to give God some praise, because I need God to see my praise and bless you, and I need him to see your praise. God, I feel like having church. Is it all right? Just give your neighbor a high five real quick. Say, neighbor, please pray for me. Oh God, let's work. Y'all be seated, please. And so it is, we all child of God, we all need the healing of God. Everybody needs a healing touch from the Lord. I know some people on your pew look like they got it together. They look like they just left the royal wedding. They just did it and they just hum hum, yep, chipper, pee, yes, cheerio, all of that kind of stuff. And you walk around like you got it made, but everybody needs something from the Lord. Everybody needs a touch from the Lord. You might need a physical touch. You might need a mental touch. You might need an emotional touch. But whatever you need, God can handle it. Am I preaching to anybody who's feeling me today? Well, if that's the case, do me one favor. Lift your hands like this. Throw your head back and shout hallelujah. Here's where I hang my homiletical argument today, because as I think about healing, I recognize that my experience with seeing the healing power of God isn't even with me personally. It was with my mama. Some of y'all don't know this, but some years ago, my mama had a bout with colon cancer, and she was dealing with that thing. I'll never forget when she was diagnosed, but those days are long gone. But I remember vividly, child of God, a few days after she found out that she was dealing with colon cancer, they told her, we don't have to do any surgery. If you just do some aggressive radiation, if you do some aggressive chemo, we can knock that thing right on up out of there. And mama was nervous. I was nervous. But check this, child of God. I'll never forget what my mama told me. She looked at me and she said, JC, I don't want you to be worried. She telling me not to be worried, and she the one in the predicament. Check it out though, y'all. She says, I know what they say about that chemo stuff. She said, I know they say it makes you weak, and I know they say it tears your hair out, and I know it makes you lethargic, and it makes you not want to do anything. She said, but JC, let me tell you something. I don't care what the chemo does. I already know that I'm healed, so they can give me as many rounds that they want, but I've already claimed healing in my mind. And when she claimed healing in her mind, can I testify, child of God, that her body responded to the decision she made? Because can I give you some good news? Mama went through 6 months of chemo. Mama ain't lose no hair. Mama looked as good as she had ever looked. Mama was doing more stuff when she had chemo than she was doing before she was in chemo. What are you saying, Pastor Howard? What I'm trying to get you to understand is that you got to make a decision to have the victory. You can't let anything discourage you, and you can't let anything convince you that your God is not big enough to handle whatever you're going through. Let me tell you what she said, Redeemer. When I looked at Mama, I came home on a break. This is when I was in Morehouse College. I came home on a break. I said, Mama, how'd you do it? How in the world did you defy the odds? You didn't lose any hair. You didn't lose any weight. You've been moving better than you ever moved in your life. How, Mama, when they told you you would be down, when they told you you would be sick, when they told you you would be weak, how did you defy the odds? How did you beat this bout with cancer? And I'll never forget what Mama told me that day. Mama looked at me, she said, JC, I decided to live. And that's a word that I came to give Redeemer today, that I don't care what you're going through in your life, you gotta make a decision to live. My body's gonna live, my children gonna live, my spouse is gonna live, our marriage is gonna live, my house is gonna live, my bank account is going to live. Am I preaching to anybody here who said, I believe I'm gonna live in every area of my life? If you believe it, do me one favor. Lift your hands real high. Throw your head back. Shout hallelujah. Just look at somebody around you. Say, live, live, live. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what it is. I know they tried to pronounce death over you, but God said live. I know they said your relationships would die, but God said live. I know they said your marriage would die, but God said live. I know they said your sons would die, but God said live. I feel like having church. Is it all right? Give your neighbor one more high five and say, neighbor, live. Let's do some work in the text. You gotta live. You live. Oh God, No, the devil is alive. You're not surviving. You were created to live. You weren't created to survive. You were created to live. Because the Bible says, I came so that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. I don't gotta settle for nothing, baby. I'm not settling for poverty. I'm not settling for staying here. God told me to live, so I'm gonna live. And so it is. Watch how our sister in this text navigates, y'all. Look at how our sister navigates. Look at the power of her testimony. We don't even know sis' name. We don't even know her name. Bible doesn't give us her name, but we know she has an issue. The text lets us know, that she has an issue of blood for 12 years. Now watch this. Let me give you a little commercial real quick. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, he really didn't have the woman on his agenda. If you really read the text a few verses ahead of time, there's a brother by the name of Jairus that just rode up on Jesus. Jairus said, Jesus, I have a small daughter. She's my baby girl. And she's sick and we think she's going to die. But she won't die if you come lay hands on her. And Jesus says, I'll roll with you, baby. Let's go heal her. On his way, the Bible says, a woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. She doesn't just approach Jesus, but the Bible says that she's been to every doctor in town. She spent all her money on trying to be healed, and nobody can heal her. And so she can't just roll up on Jesus because there are people hanging off of him everywhere. And so she backdoors Jesus, and she comes low, and she sneaks through the crowd. And the Bible says that she tugs on Jesus' garment. And when she tugs on his garment, immediately she's made well. Now don't miss this though, child of God. The first thing I got to show you in the text is that when you make a decision to live, here it is, you can't let just anybody handle your healing. If it didn't bless you yet, it's going to bless you. I promise you that if you're going to make a decision to live, you can't just let anybody handle your healing. The text says, don't miss what it says. She's been living with this issue. She can't control her flow of blood for 12 long years. This woman is extremely uncomfortable. She has pains all in her body. The pains are so bad that she can hardly stand up straight. And it says for 12 long years, 2 years over a decade, this woman has been plagued with this disease. She's seen every doctor in town and none of the doctors can heal her. I am of the estimation that she saw so many doctors and they gave her so many different kinds of medicine that the doctors didn't get her better. The doctors actually made her worse. And so it's my contention, child of God, that she sees every doctor in town. She spends all her money on these doctors, but nobody can fix her. Nobody is able to heal her. She let people handle her who couldn't heal her. Did you hear what I just said? I just said something that might make you shout. I said she let people handle her that didn't have the power to heal her. I came to let you know here, Redeemer, that everybody don't have the answers for you. That everybody can't handle your healing. Watch this. Watch this. You got a lot of hurt people because when they get hurt the first time, they run and try to tell somebody that's going to hurt them again. Because when they tell the wrong person, all that person does after they get the gossip gossip, they call somebody else and they telling them all your business. What I'm trying to get you to understand, child of God, is that before you take your issues to your best friend, before you take your issues to your homeboys, before you take your issues to Twitter, those of y'all who be tweeting all of your mess, Facebook posting all of your drama, I'm telling you, Facebook can't handle your healing. Your friends can't handle your healing all the time. When you go through a situation in life, you got to do what David did. Watch this. Look to the hills from where cometh your help. Your help, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. Am I preaching to anybody here who knows what I'm talking about? I've gone through issues in my life, and when I tried to confide in somebody else, all they did was take my issues and throw them back in my face. That's why I love God, y'all, because God will never throw your issues in your face, because he already knows what you're going through. We damage ourselves because we put our trust in people who can't heal us. We put our trust in things that don't have the power to heal. And so you can't give yourself to something that doesn't have the power to heal you and expect to be healed. You're never going to be healed unless you really get the proper healing that you need. And I came to let somebody know and to remind somebody that telling your business to everybody, that's not going to heal you. You going off on somebody on Facebook, that just makes you look petty. That's not healing. That just makes you look foolish. I need you to know, child of God, don't let anybody handle you that can't heal you. You have to see somebody who's qualified to handle any sickness. You want to know why I really love God? The reason why I love God is because in this life, child of God, if you ever get sick, y'all know this, y'all know, especially those of you in the health profession field, you'll know that in this life, that when you study to become a doctor, watch this, you can't just become a doctor of all things. They have something called specialists. Yes, ma'am. They have something called specialists. And so you have some doctors that go to school for 12, 15, 20 years just to be a specialist in one thing. That you got heart doctors. Heart doctors can't tell you anything about the brain because all of their lives they've studied the heart. But neurologists and brain doctors, they can tell you a lot about the brain, but they can't tell you much about the heart because they grew up and they studied the brain their whole lives. But let me tell you something, child of God. I have somebody called a general practitioner, and my general practitioner named Jesus, he specializes in any sickness you might go through. He can give you information on your brain and your heart. He can bless you in your head and your legs. He can touch your lungs and your kidney. Am I preaching to anybody here who said, I'm so glad that when the specialist doesn't have the answer, I have a general practitioner that has every answer? You can't just let anybody handle your healing. But second of all, child of God, and this is where real teaching comes in, you can't always hurry your healing. I just said something. I know we live in a microwave culture. We live in a culture where we want what we want, and we want it now. We want high-speed information, high-speed this, high-speed that. The faster, the better. That's the information that we live in, I mean, the era that we live in. But sometimes you got to put stuff in the oven. You can't just let it be in the microwave, because in the microwave, it's hot on the outside. But sometimes, you got to throw it back in there, don't you? Because it's cold on the inside. But if you let that thing simmer in the oven, if you let it sit in there and cook and let this proper time, it'll come out perfect. And the reality is, this woman has been living 2 years, over a decade, with this sickness. Can you imagine what she goes through every day? Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine, child of God, every day she wakes up and she goes to see a doctor who has no answers for her. She tries medicine that never works. And after 12 years, some of us would have gave up. After 12 years, some of us would have threw in the towel. But this is what blesses me. This is really the shout. And I know it's small. It's a nuance. But this is what really danced me when I was writing this sermon. What really shouted me is because the Bible says this woman has been plagued with this issue for 12 years, sick for 12 years straight. And every time she sees a doctor, they always give her bad news because they can't heal her. But watch this. The Bible says, although she is 12 years into this sickness, she still has enough strength to get up and go see Jesus. I thought it was going to shout about 10 more people. Did you hear what I said? I said she didn't let 12 years of anything stop her from getting to Jesus. This is a word for somebody in church today who's been plagued with something in your life, physical, mental, emotional. I don't care what you're going through. You better not stop coming to church. You got to keep on giving God the glory. You got to keep on giving him the praise. Because watch this. I know it's been 12 years, but today might be your day. Did you hear what I just said? I know it's been 12 years, but God just might do it today. So I gotta praise him today because he might do it. Watch this. But if he doesn't do it today, he might do it tomorrow. So I gotta praise him tomorrow because he might. But is there anybody here that says, I believe my God is able to turn my situation around and it won't take him 12 years to do it? He can do it in the blink of an eye. Okay, I'm sorry. I got excited. Let me teach it. You can't stop giving God the glory. You can't stop praising. You can't stop serving. You can't stop communicating with the Lord. Can't stop praying about it. I don't care how long it takes. The reason why is because the Bible says that when she touches Jesus' garment, she's, you took the words out of my mouth. She is healed immediately. So she has been getting a no for 12 years, and in 10 seconds she gets her yes. Can I preach to somebody here who said you might have been going through a decade of hell, but God will give you heaven in 10 seconds? I feel like having some church in here. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, neighbor, I decided to live. Closing, y'all. I'm closing, T. That's why I praise him like I do. That's why I go crazy. Because I know it ain't fixed yet. I know it ain't fixed yet. I know I'm not healed yet. But the Bible said immediately. And when God decides to work it out, it don't take God long to do what God gotta do. God can do whatever he needs to do, and he can do it in 30 seconds or less. But you have to believe. I'm going to show it to you. You can't always hurry your blessing. You can't hurry your healing all the time. You got to let God do what God's got to do. Because watch what happens when she's healed. Don't miss the narrative. I got to show you this. She backdoors Jesus. She creeps through the crowd. Nobody's paying her attention because Jesus is like a rock star at this point. Everybody's hanging off of Jesus. Don't miss what happens. The Bible says everybody is hanging on to Jesus as he's walking. But the Bible says when she touches just the tip of his garment, what does he say? Who touched me? Woo. Now, Peter says, Jesus, why in the world would you ask that question? You got all these people hanging off of you. And Jesus says, no. Somebody special touched me. Somebody who needed a miracle touched me. Somebody who needed deliverance touched me. And I know they touched me because my power left me and went into them. Can I find anybody here who said, I don't care how many people call on him, I know he hears me when I call. See, let me tell you something. Don't ever stop calling on Jesus, because out of the millions of voices that are calling on him, he hears your voice. Our God is so powerful, y'all. You do realize that God is not just omnipresent everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent, which means all powerful. That means, whew, this is where we're going to shout. That means I can call on Jesus and you can call on Jesus at the same time. And when we call on Jesus at the same time, he hears us separately. I wish I had somebody here who felt like calling on Jesus with me right now. If that is you, take 10 seconds and give God some praise. And Redeemer, this is where I close my sermon. You can't always, you can't hurry that healing always. You got to wait until God decides to give it to you. You can't just let anybody handle your healing. But if I'm going to leave you with a good word today, if you're going to really decide to live from this day forward, the last thing I got to show you is that you need to know who harnesses your healing. Let me show it to you. The Bible says, the woman backdoors Jesus, and she sneaks through the crowd, and she just tugs on the hem of his garment. And when she tugs on the hem of his garment, the Bible says, immediately she was made well. Now, the reason why it gets good, y'all, Jesus says, who touches me? Peter says, how can you ask that? He says, no, I know somebody touched me. Somebody who was in need and desperation touched me. Somebody different touched me. And the woman says, Jesus, it was me. She comes clean. She bows before the Lord. The Bible says she comes to Jesus in reverence, thanking him, praising him, like we should be thanking him and praising him. And she says, she told Jesus, Jesus, when I touched you, I was healed immediately. Now watch how Jesus responds to her, and this is where I shout and go home. Jesus said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Did y'all catch that? I'm gonna say it one more time. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I messed something up, Deacon Ayers, Reverend Ayers. I forgot you're a preacher now. The reality of the matter is I've been messing something up my entire life. My entire life. And some of y'all are just like me. I was liberated when I wrote this sermon because y'all, some of y'all were just like me. You were bound by something that you thought was a cultural thing your entire life. Because my entire life, when I read this story, I thought it was when she touched the garment that she was healed. Oh, some of y'all done figured it out. I thought you would have been shouting by now. The Bible says, I thought rather, that when she grabbed his garment, that's why she got healed. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made me well. It wasn't because she grabbed the garment. It's because she believed that if she grabbed it, Jesus would make her well. And I wonder if I'm talking to anybody here today who said, I got faith of a mustard seed. I got faith in my spirit that God can work things out. Do me one favor. Grab your neighbor by the hand and shake that hand like God's been good to you. Shake that hand like you've been born again. Shake that hand like you've been delivered. And say, neighbor, keep the faith, baby. Keep on praising. Keep on shouting. Keep on lifting him up. Feel like giving God some glory. Yes, yes, yes. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Shall I? Yeah! Yeah! Giving God glory. Do me one last favor. Give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, this shout is for you. I'm shouting for you. I'm
praising for you. I believe God for you. If you believe it, then give God some praise. Give God a shout. Give God a holler. Yeah. You're not talking. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to get a memory in your mind of something that was supposed to die in your life. But God gave you an extension and he told you to live. I need you to get that in your mind right now. And when you get it in your mind, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, give me a few feet because I remember what God did for me and I ought to respond with my praise. If that's you, take the next 2 minutes and give God a dance in here like you never danced before. Now, let me give you some instructions because all of us need something different from God. Now, if you need something easy, something small, something inconsequential, then go ahead and give God a little bougie hand clap. But if you need something big from God, if you need a miracle from God, you got to give God a big praise. You got to give God big worship. You got to give God big praise and big worship.